Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are a Bible teaching and Bible believing and Bible obedient, I hope, church. And would love to have you come and visit us sometime. 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our phone number is 740-494-2222. And our website is prospectccf.com. Anyway, today I think I'd like to talk a little bit about something that we haven't really talked about much before, and I'd kind of like to talk about church security. It's an issue that has come up here and there over the last year or so. We all know about the incident in Texas where the shooter came in and basically took out just about everyone in one family, and if it wasn't for a guy across the way that had heard what was going on and came running over, it probably would have got much, much worse. But it is something that we never used to think about. Hasn't a church always been a safe harbor? Church has always been a safe harbor, as a lot of places have been. And but now, I find that today that people are so distraught in many areas and they have so many issues, they don't have any problems with taking their wrath out on anyone they feel that caused it. And whether it's being disgruntled from a church they were in, or maybe someone's in the church they're angry at, or whatever the case is, or in many cases, sadly, they just want to make a statement. You know, as we look around the world for millennia, it seems like, churches have been a place that have been attacked by either groups that didn't agree with them, or governments, or I know that in Japan, around the time of World War II, you know, some of the churches that were boarded up and people burned alive in them were unbelievable. That was just in Japan, and you know, it still happens. And I was talking to my niece; she was on a mission trip in I believe it was Turkey, and was telling me about a place they were at where they. A year previously, they had dropped grenades down the chimney of the church. And just these things happen in other places. We just don't see them in America. And now, of course, we're beginning to see things everywhere. It doesn't matter if it's a grocery store. It doesn't matter if it's a church, where it is. You know, people seem to want to take vengeance out whenever they want to do it. One thing that I think is part of the problem is that people assume that a church is a soft target, too. And I think that it's important that churches not be a soft target, not be a place where someone's just going to walk in. So I just want to talk a little bit about church security and things that happen. And how do you handle things when they come in? It's kind of funny. 2 weeks ago on Saturday, there was a man came, we had men's breakfast at the church, and a man came walking in. He was homeless. He'd been walking quite a ways. He said his feet hurt. Immediately he sat down, took his shoes off, wanted to show us his hurt feet, and they were, his feet were bad. And one of the other fellows, while he was doing that, went and got him a plate of breakfast. And we joined in him in our conversation. We were having a devotion in the morning. And we talked. He obviously had some issues beyond just being homeless, as most homeless, I shouldn't say most, that's wrong. A lot of homeless people have issues of that are keeping them from being able to stay in stable housing even when it's presented to them. And this fellow might have been one of them. He appeared to me to be, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but I've seen symptoms of schizophrenia, and that was kind of how he was acting a little bit. But with that being said, some of our guys went down to the local drugstore and got dressing for his feet and socks and pads for his shoes and tried to, you know, medicate him as best we could, and certainly helped him on down the road to do, and that's what he wanted. I mean, he really wasn't requiring or asking for anything else. But then I saw a couple days later, he had walked into another town, and I just happened to see someone sent me a YouTube video of of this pastor talking about the guy coming to his church and had disrupted the service, and they called the police to come and get him. And you know, the guy, I guess he could be a little scary because he didn't act like everyone else acted. But there's where it's important in situations like that, that we learn how to handle people that are going to come in off the street that we don't understand. You know, I was having this conversation the other day, Terry, about the mentally ill. And we do know that it was back in the 80s, early 80s, when they threw the one of the reforms, psychiatric reforms, I don't remember it specifically, but I remember the time when it happened, when they started emptying the mental institutions and putting people on medication. Figured they could control them much easier on medication than spending the money of keeping them institutionalized. Well, the problem with that was a lot of those people were not responsible enough to take the medication. So immediately you had, I remember I was working at the time, our office was on the top of the hill on West Broad Street, right across from what they used to call the hilltop. When they'd say, he's going to the hilltop, well, they're talking about the huge Columbus Psychiatric Hospital at the top of the hill. We were right across from it. And it was right about the time this happened, and it was just unbelievable. I mean, these poor people were in all through the neighborhood, and most of them did not have the ability to function outside of where they had been for maybe most of their lives. And so I learned, and I interacted with a lot of those people, and actually got to know some of them. And they did. They came from all walks of lives, and their biggest problem was they just were not able to function on their own. And today we're dealing with a lot of people that can't function on their own. In many cases, a lot of the medications they put them on are also medications that people will use for, people will abuse. And in many times, because of some of their background, they'll even abuse the medication and use it all up in a week. They don't have a central place to go get their medicine every day that they can walk into. Someone's not coming around and giving it to them. So now you do have people on the streets that can be not only a threat to themselves, but a threat to other people also. And sometimes these people are going to stumble into a church. Now, I'll be honest, I long for the old days like you used to see in the movies, where the church door was always open and anyone could walk in at any time and go in the sanctuary and pray. And I think that's who we need to be as the church. But unfortunately, because of society and drugs and theft and all the things going on today, it just isn't that easy to do anymore. We have had some things where the churches in town will designate one or two nights a week as a night when the church will be open from, say, 5 to 7 o'clock for anyone that wants to come in and pray, to come in and someone is there if they need someone to talk to. But you still have to man it. You can't just leave the door open. Our church was built in 1874. And the glass in the back door probably has been there since that wing was put on 100 years ago. And just in the last 3 years, that glass was broken because someone took it out, came in and lifted a flat screen off the wall that we had for the youth and walked out the door with it. People don't seem to have that respect anymore. And if you leave a church open, that's exactly what's going to happen, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is we do have to have certain security things in effect. And what we've done at our church that I think is pretty important, we have taken the lead and actually had people that have been trained in certain areas. And we've actually gone to a couple of seminars on church security. And we also have a church security plan that is typed up that, unfortunately, a dear friend of ours, Mike Tomasa, who wrote up the plan, passed away of cancer a year ago, but Mike put this thing together. And it was a comprehensive plan on what we do from week to week when the church is open for security. And we have not only responsible people on that team, but there are certain places they're placed. Like, for instance, when the kids are in Sunday school, when the kids are in nursery, when people are in sanctuary, we have people at certain, we have someone at the front door, we have someone in that can keep their eyes on every aspect of the church all the time. And they do have the training to do what they need to do if they need to do it. Now, obviously, anytime you have a training program in a church, what's ideal is, and what you want to do every, is you want to deter something happening. It has to be a deterrent. It cannot be something where you aggravate a situation or even make it worse than it is. Nobody wants to confront anyone at all. But you do need to have that presence there. One thing that I'm very blessed with in our church is two of my daughters have married a couple of gorillas. And they're the nicest guys in the world, but man, they're like 6'5". They're big guys.
Wow.
Great big muscular guys. And it's nice to have their presence there. And we've got a couple others that big too. And it's just not, we don't seek those people, but they're there. Mm-hmm. And you know, that is a, sometimes, and what I was getting on how they handled the guy coming into the church that was at our church a week earlier, and then they ended up calling the police at this other church. What we would typically do with someone like that, when they come in and sit down and say they're not, they're fidgety or not acting right or questionable, one of those gorillas will probably go just sit beside them. Hi, how you doing? My name's so-and-so. Just sit down and be as kind and friendly as can be. Then if you've got a situation that could get out of hand, you have someone that has the ability to take them to the door. Or get them to another room. Hey, let's go out here and talk a minute. You seem to be agitated. You know, whatever that case is. So there's some of the things you can do. Another thing that's very important is security cameras. We start installing security cameras, and people need to know they're there. That's a huge deterrent. Nobody wants to be on candid camera. They really don't. And you put in security cameras, and make sure doors lock. Make sure that you're able to lock doors. Once people come into the church on Sunday morning, it's very important that you lock all of the doors. And even if the front common entry is open, you need to have somebody placed at the door to watch that door. And, you know, that's another real important one. You know, they're simple things. They're not hard. Most people, if you came into our church, Terry, you would never guess that we had any security in place whatsoever. Never enter your mind. But I think that it's imperative that we do that. Someone said to me once, why in the world would you worry about security in a church? Well, if I remember right, I'm a pastor, and the Bible describes me as a shepherd of the flock. And if you remember the biblical description of the gatekeeper and the flock in the Bible, the gatekeeper stayed at the door. To guard the door. And I think that we need to make sure that our flock is not going to be, they're going to be safe, that they can worship in peace and enjoy themselves without worrying about, hey, I just heard a door, somebody come in, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that, you know, even in this case where they called the police on this fella, that personally myself, I found him harmless. He was a little spooky or scary, maybe. Spooky be the wrong word. You know what I mean. A little, you don't know what he's going to do. Made you a little bit nervous. He was carrying a pizza box with him that we couldn't see what was in it. We found out later there wasn't anything with it. The reason he was carrying this great big large pizza box was when he was walking around in the sun, he was holding it over his head for shade. But, and then he ended up getting a bag. We had our farmer's market that day, and he got quite a bit of stuff in it. But when he showed up to the church, he had his bag, and no one knew what was in the bag. There would be nothing wrong with saying to someone when they come in like that, saying, look, I'm not going to bother you. I don't want to take anything that you have, but can I at least see what you have in the bag for security purposes? And just say, can you hold your bag, but open it so I can see what's in it. Mm-hmm. You know, and then if they throw a big fit and start a scene, then you take them outside. But the point is, you know, just do some simple measures like that. It's sensible. Try not to cause a scene. You know, when you have to cause a scene with someone and call the police, it's traumatic on everyone in the congregation, especially elderly people, because they can't get it out of their mind, and then they're afraid, and it may even affect them coming back to church. You don't know. And nobody wants to see police cars at the church anyway, with lights flashing and whatnot. Right. But there's just simple things. There's also a website you can go to. It's called Shepherd Inc., I believe is the name of it. And it is a company that, Sheepdog Inc. They work with security teams with churches. And you would be surprised, Terry, that most churches have some form of security plan out there. Hmm. If they don't, I would encourage them to please do so. Sure. And there's another aspect of it that I think is quite important, is that if you do have an incident in your church and you have a security plan in place, it allows the authorities that are looking over what happened to see that you're working in a responsible, sensible manner, and that you've thought of these things ahead of time. And that, you see what I mean? But, you know, not to say too much about it, but I know within our security plan, you know, we have, if something happens, there's someone designated to leave the building right away and to check outside and make sure there's not more of a threat than what just came in the door. And either that person or another designated person is designated to immediately call the sheriff's department. Don't wait till 10 minutes after an incident happens. If an incident is even starting to happen, you know that it's inevitable that it's going to. Mm-hmm. I mean, most things you can defuse. But if you're getting, you know, this is probably not one we're going to defuse, get the authorities coming now. And then, of course, you know, like I said, make a sweep outside. If you've got more than one building, you better have security people in both buildings. And you make sure that you're sweeping your outside your buildings to make sure you don't have a dual threat coming in. Mm. Because, you know, and even with terrorism, we see that. We know that. Mm. We know that's how they work and what they do. Mm. We know threats they've made about churches already and those kind of things that could happen. So it's just a matter of being important. We just had we're talking about, you know, security at the school today, and we were talking about it in a meeting at the school and some of the things they put in place. And I'm happy to say, folks, I can't speak for any of the other schools right now, but I can say that if your kids are going back to Elgin schools this year, they have really worked very hard on their security updates. We do have a full-time resource officer, and backup if he can't be there. There are a lot more cameras being installed. There's some real plans out there, and of course they've implemented the ALICE program, which is the Sheriff Department trains. I think most of the schools have gone through the ALICE program now, and it's a program that tells you what to do when there's an active shooter, and how to get the kids out of the building or how to be safe and all those things. So there's a lot of work in those areas in the schools that's starting to take place, that maybe we're kind of behind the eight ball on that one. Now, it should have happened maybe sooner in some places. But in the churches, people don't even think about it, but it's really, really crucial that we do that, that we have, I don't want to sound like a boat captain, but, you know, one of the things we take is to protect the women and children first. And make sure that they're secure, that no one's going to get to them, specifically children in Sunday school classrooms and that kind of thing. Make sure that's taken care of. Make sure that everybody's safe and you can come to church and worship and be happy. I mean, it's just like anywhere else. Stores have security. You guys go, you know, don't be afraid to go to church. People go in stores every day and they have security. Libraries have security, for crying out loud. I mean, you name it, any public place anymore has to have security. And the church really isn't that much different. I've had people say, well, you know, if you trusted God, you wouldn't worry about that. And I thought, okay, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I think God gives us common sense for a reason, doesn't he? And if you want to see God protecting his people, he used a lot of those people in the Bible in security situations. God expects us to use the intelligence that he gives us and use it in a responsible manner. Granted, we do trust God to protect us. But that would be like saying, I trust God for my nutrition, so I don't need to eat. Well, I do trust God for my nutrition, but I need to eat, don't I?
Yeah.
And, you know, so...
Wouldn't the two go, like, hand in hand? I mean...
Yeah.
Almost, in a sense?
In a sense. Yeah. I mean, we should... We just need to be proactive in what we do and sensible.
Instead of being reactive, you know.
Just like we come into the church and we have policies when it comes to working with children, the number of people working with children, background checks, all those things in place. We don't do that because we expect an incident. You know, we do that because we need to make sure that we don't have an incident. And if you do, you're protected and you're in place. And that kids are safe and people are safe.
Yeah.
Just like the schools use background checks, 4-H uses background checks. And, you know, those are things you have to do. Now, I'll say this. If someone comes to the church and maybe for one reason or another they can't pass a background check, it doesn't mean they're not welcome at church. It just means they're not going to be working with kids. Simple as that.
Period, yeah.
You know, God forgives everyone. But sometimes we do things in our life that prevent us from doing certain things again. You know, if you've got a theft conviction on your record,
you're probably not going to work around money.
They're not going to hire you at the bank.
Right.
You may be the most honest. It may have been completely rehabilitated and repented and the most wonderful Christian person in the world or whatever, but they're not going to hire you at the bank.
No.
And if they did hire you at the bank and something happened, they're going to go directly to the person that hired you, and they're in trouble. Yeah. And it's no different in the church. It's just like with pastors. I mean, pastors they hold us to a standard that there are certain things that you know you got to be more careful than maybe even other people, because someone's always watching. Someone's always got their eyes open.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And, you know, that's just kind of the nature of where we live today. But I feel great knowing that in our church, the people can come to church, feel safe and free to worship, and not have to worry about, is anyone going to be there if something would happen? Yeah, we've got you covered. And there's people that are responsible enough to do that. And I'm very blessed as a pastor, especially in a small community like Prospect. And obviously in smaller communities, you don't have mega churches.
Right.
Our churches aren't huge, but to be able to have those good, honest, responsible people that are willing to step into those roles and say, yeah, I'd like to make sure everyone's safe. And so that's pretty
good. Makes your job a lot easier. You
know? It really does. Yeah. I know a guy that a pastor friend of mine that always said that he carried, besides his Bible, he carried three things in his pulpit, and they were all under his robe. And one was on his shoulder, one was on his hip, and one was on his ankle. And I said, I don't want to be that pastor. You know, I want to be that pastor that stands up there knowing that I'm okay.
Yeah.
And because a lot of times when people do come into church, they go right up front. That's where they're headed first.
Right.
But it doesn't need to be that way. And people need to know that they're safe.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I remember a few years ago, a guy came in, a guy called the church, and he was just being... for lack of a better word, he was just being a jerk. And he didn't like the church. He didn't like church, period. And he had a problem with me. And he's called and said, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to disrupt your service. He came around and said he was going to do that because he wanted to. This has been years ago. And lo and behold, Sunday morning, here comes the guy right in the door, and people don't know this guy. They're greeting him and how you doing, shaking his hand, and I know why he's there.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled someone aside and says, "Oh no, we don't need this. You know, you don't need somebody standing up in service and making a ruckus."
Exactly.
About
that,
right.
Yeah.
So I just pulled some aside. We had a quick word of prayer to the Lord about the situation. I went back, went in. It was time to start service. I started service. And one of those gorillas I was telling you about went over and sat by this guy, who, by the way, he was a gorilla too, the guy that came in. This guy sat down. And by the end of the service, he was paying attention. And before he left, he put money on the plate. Now, I don't, it's neither here nor there to me whether he put money in the plate
or not.
Sure, sure. But obviously, he had toned down.
Yeah.
And the message must have, something changed, didn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, people were greeting him. They went and sat down by him. He had this other gorilla by him. He knew that, you know, it wasn't going to, who knows? Who knows? And I chalk it up to answered prayer. You know, I prayed, Lord, take care of this because I'm in a pulpit and I can't do it.
Wow.
And the people in here don't need it. That's been years ago. And, you know, so sometimes you don't know what's going on.
That's right.
You don't really know. But, you know, but church security is so important. And we see it all the time where if you pay attention to it, you'll see that there are situations where things get diffused.
I don't even know how to word this, but I mean, of course, as a pastor, you're familiar with a lot of your parishioners.
Oh yeah.
Is that like a kind of? I mean, does a red flag go up there if you see someone that's not a normal, or do you just chalk it up as maybe a new person? Or
oh, no.
I mean, do you get to know? I mean, because like I say, you kind of know everybody. You know, I mean,
oh, we get a lot of visitors, and it never a red flag never goes up.
I didn't know maybe how to say it, but I you know what I mean? Like would you alert somebody? Like if there's somebody that you're not familiar with of your regulars. Would you maybe kind of alert somebody then? Or,
no.
Okay.
No, I think that, you know, usually if somebody has an issue, there's something different about their demeanor when they come in.
Okay.
You know, typically when people come to visit church, you know, they want to shake your hand and, hi, I'm so-and-so, and you're welcome, and they tell you who they are, where they're from, and you can just tell. You know, and we get visitors at least every other week, and sometimes every week, sometimes multiples on one Sunday, and we've never had a problem, and we welcome people, we love our visitors.
Right.
But typically when somebody, and I think anyone will tell you this, they tell you, you know, to always watch people with suspicious activity.
Sure.
And you can usually tell, but that's what's so nice about having a security team. There's enough people there that if someone does act odd, more than one person has probably noticed it, and they may be close to that person, whether or not they've sat down with them yet or not. They may be aware of them. Keep an eye on this guy. It seems a little different. We've had a couple of people like that come in. We had a guy come in towards the end of service a year ago, and man, he was a scary looking dude. I kid you not. This guy was scary looking. And he sat down in the back row, and he just sat there, and I thought, a couple of guys looked at me up in the pulpit like, okay, we're watching him. And it turned out, immediately after the service, he caught me and said, Pastor, could I talk to you in your office? And I said, sure. And as I'm walking back, I walked back, and I grabbed one of the other guys. I don't do anything alone in my office. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's just we're not in the day and age to do it.
Sure.
And even if someone's not going to be a threat to you, who's to say what they may say? Or you know what I mean?
Right.
You
just can't. Sure.
So anyway, it turned out that this guy was wanted money, and he was very briefly, on parole. He had been spent almost all of his adult life in prison. He's a heroin addict. And that's why he was there. He came in and made his presence known and wanted money. And that does periodically happen, that kind of stuff. But even though people talk about, well, what do you do about people with concealed carries, right? Do you want anyone and everyone walking in your church with a gun? Absolutely not. And the way the law reads is that it is illegal to carry in a church unless you have permission from who's ever in authority at the church to give you that permission. So the way that we find it easy to handle that is, no one's allowed to carry unless they get permission to do so. And that way, and no one is allowed to carry without that specific permission. So if someone comes, say there's someone that comes to church, just hypothetically, you got someone to come to church, they've been able to pass a background and they like to carry. But you know personally that there's someone that you're not real comfortable with their reaction if something happened. Or you're just not real comfortable with them having that. You can very easily say, you know, right now we're not, we've got a couple security people, but beyond that we don't want anyone carrying in the church. It's too confusing. You have the perfect right to say that and deny it. And I'm not going to let you cats out of the bag, but I'm just letting you know, I have no problem telling people they can't carry if they're in a position where they shouldn't be.
Right.
But if you've got somebody that is well-trained, they're responsible, they're level-headed, you know, maybe they even have police or military background and they're really good at what they do, you'd be foolish not to allow them to be in a situation to help protect people if you had that option.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about people wearing them on their hip and stuff. I'm just saying, you know, someone in a very, that you know they're going to help a situation, not inflame it too.
Right.
Because that's huge in church security.
Oh, yeah.
Is that when situation arises, you want to defuse it. You don't want to make it worse. You know, the key is to stop the situation from getting worse, not elevate it to the point that you have a bad situation. And you've got to make sure people on your security team are diffusers, not elevators. And you don't need Walker Texas Ranger whipping his piece out and telling someone to freeze and hit the floor.
Yeah.
You know, you just, that's not good. How many people would you have in church the next Sunday if you did that?
Yeah, you'd be, yeah.
And, you know, so I guess what I'm trying to say is, yes, church security is necessary, but it doesn't have to be something that is overly dramatized or something that is some Hollywood production. It's important, but it has to be responsible.
Well, and I want like, people to know. Like as long as you got the plan in place, that's you need. Yeah.
And I just want to let people know in our church, you're safe.
Good.
You're safe as you're going to be anywhere.
Yeah, good.
And you know, we've never really had a problem. We haven't. Other than the fellow that said, and that fellow wasn't going to shoot anybody that came in a few years ago. He just said he was going to disrupt the service and be an embarrassment to everyone. And he ended up not being that. But we've never really had a problem with anything. And I don't anticipate it. But I sure want to be ready if we do.
Oh. Absolutely.
You know, I want to be one of those people that say, wow, they detoured that just right and nothing, no one got hurt.
Well, I mean, you...
Including the perpetrator.
Sure. I mean, you would be foolish not to be, you know, not to be prepared, you know. And I
know the pastors that have told me, oh, I don't want anything to do with that stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, whatever. But, you know, we don't live in the America of the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s. We don't.
That's right.
And the world's changed.
Absolutely.
A different place.
Yes.
And honestly, we're seeing the things today that other countries have seen for decades around the world.
Yeah, it's catching up to us.
It's catching up to us a little bit. Anyway, I just thought I'd talk a little bit about church security, let you know where we're at with that and how that goes. I'd love to see you at 209 East Water Street in Prospect on any Sunday at 9:30 in the morning is Sunday school, and at 10:30 is service. We do have midweek service and Bible studies in a couple of different venues. And we also have Sunday evening service at 6:30. We have youth group at 6:30. And Team Kid will be kicking off soon for our young kids in town from ages 3 all the way through sixth grade. And then I do a thing called Pizza with Pastor with the teenagers in town. And we've always got something going on, folks. We'd love to have you. Again, we're at 740-494-2222. And we are at prospectccf.com. God bless you and have a good day.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican